Welcome to the podcast. Do you feel your mind lies to you sometimes? Do you feel like there's some funny stuff going on up here? Have you ever had a thought that turned out not to be true? Once or twice. So in this session, we're getting into the mind's infinite capacity for self-deception. Right? The mind has. We're looking at the world through the mind. We're perceiving reality through the mind. And the mind can be our best friend. It can also be our worst enemy. The mind can have rationalization, justification, catastrophizing, spiritual bypassing, making excuses, reasons, distortions. I mean, it just goes on and on. And so we're going to be getting into at least some of the things. This is a huge topic that could easily be 100 sessions long. And let's see where we go and how deep we can get and just discover it. And you were saying to Shireen, like, the mind, we're using the mind to talk about the mind's self-deception. So that in itself has its limits. So, Shireen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for your lovely
Welcome,
presence.
Michael. Welcome. Yes. Sending you blessings, sending everyone blessings.
Yay. So this was your idea. This is a very deep topic.
Very deep topic. So I've been researching, you know me and research.
Oh, yes.
So I've been researching on self-deception. And you know what is the most interesting thing I found? The most interesting thing I found in my research is that the mind knows at some level it's deceiving itself and it still deceives itself. And the more intelligent you are, the more self-deception happens.
Oh, really? Because there's higher levels of justification and
Yes,
complication, and
absolutely,
you did
absolutely.
reasoning. Oh, no, it's because of this, this, and this. And you could. That's very interesting. So intelligence turns out to have a dark side.
Absolutely. You know, what they found is people who cheat on test scores, right? They cheat in a test and then they get a test score. And they really feel that if they get a higher score, that they really feel that reflects their intelligence. They forget that they've
They
cheated, cheated on the
forgot
test.
quickly. Well, of course, I mean, that's very interesting.
Right. And
That's very
so
interesting.
that's the mind's capacity for self-deception, right? You know, but still you think no. You know, it's the same with someone else taking a test for you and you passing the exam. You think you are smart. You know, one of the reasons I was actually even thinking about this was in our Murli, in our advanced classes, there was a sentence that the Supreme Soul, we call Baba, said in the Murli. And he said that if you're not following Srimad, then you are deceiving yourself. And I thought that was very, very interesting because what that tells you is if the mind needs to examine itself, it's never going to be a reliable examiner. It's like the thief, you know, guarding the safe, right? It's not going to happen properly, right? Or the thief, like you're in a lawyer, it's like a lawyer arguing on their own behalf, right? They're testifying on
It's
their own behalf,
yeah.
right?
It's like why, for example, COVID, all the shady stuff that happened in COVID, why is there no consequence to any of it? Because the people who would have to basically put themselves in a criminal case are the ones in charge of doing it, so they're not going to do it. You know,
Absolutely.
it's exactly what's going on all the time. You know, the people, yeah. So this is the mind's in charge. It's its own lawyer and its own judge,
Right.
and its own
And so it's not going to do a good job, right? That's not going to happen. Yeah. And so I thought it was interesting that Baba said you have to follow Srimad. That means you have to follow a higher direction from outside. It can't be the dictates of your own mind, because the dictates of your own mind, you'll always come out like a rose, right? You'll always think you're doing wonderful. You'll always think everything is great, because the mind is so used to self-deception. The only time you know where you are, the benchmark is not the dictates of your own mind. The benchmark is, are you following something higher than yourself than the dictates of your own mind? And so, okay, we are fortunate enough to have Srimad. But all our listeners...
Because a lot of people don't know what Srimad means.
Srimad means elevated directions, and directions that we get in our advanced classes, right? There are certain directions we get. And so you could say they're spiritually elevated directions. So we are fortunate enough to have a set of spiritually elevated directions we can really compare, right? It's not the mind making up. It's not the mind being its own lawyer, or it's not the mind being a thief and guarding the safe. It's not that, right? There is a very concrete spiritual elevated directions we look at and we say, am I following that? If not, then I'm deceiving myself. That's very clear. And so I feel to really get out of self-deception, everyone needs to find a Srimad. Everyone needs to find spiritually elevated directions, whatever they are. Find them in your faith tradition. Find elevated directions that you are benchmarking. That's the benchmark, right? You're not just thinking, oh, I don't feel like it today and I feel like it tomorrow, don't feel like the other day. That's just self-deception. Because I know people, right, who keep saying, I will start something on Monday, and it's been 3 years and they have not started.
That's quite funny.
And yesterday when I spoke to them, they were like, oh, I can't really push myself. That's the way where I am, right? And I'm thinking, it's been 3 years. Like, obviously you're not pushing yourself.
Yeah, I can't. That is quite an amusing level of self-deception.
That's the level of self-deception we are talking about. Mm. But I'm not just pointing fingers at her or them, right? I'm thinking for myself, how much of my life am I deceiving myself? And what's the problem in self-deception is a question we need to ask. What's the problem in self-deception, Brother Michael?
It's very severe. Yeah, no, it's... this is a... I mean, I see it myself with media, because I've been attempting to have no media at all since May last year, which is, so it's nearly been a year now at the recording of this. And it's certainly got way better than it was, like way, way, way better, because I realized that was a self-deception, saying, oh, you know, it does matter. So I've cut it off, but I still check the news. And I'm like, well, I need to know what's going on in the world. And this doesn't really count. And it's not very long. You know, like that's so it's like there's a hierarchy of standards depending on the context and depending on my headspace, basically. So in my highest headspace, I'm like, I have clarity about media. Like, I'm still not sure about it now. This is the deception. It's like, do I need to know what's going on in the world? With wars going on, and it could affect my life, and also I care about people, and I want to, like, I'm a curious person, right? So it's like, well, of course, some knowledge is better than ignorance, but then does it make any difference if I know about these things, or is it just distraction from doing something better with my time than that? And my mind has
maybe because you are alone and in a remote area, right? Maybe you do need to know. See, I don't check the news and I don't need to know because someone's going to come tell me. Walk out, yeah, exactly. Someone's coming and telling me what's going on.
Yeah, if you're getting conversations about the news like you all loathe it for a certain amount of time every day, then you already know the news.
Then I don't need to go and check the news, right? Because I know it. Someone is telling me it. Someone is telling me, but you might not.
Exactly. I wouldn't. I mean, I could talk to someone about it, but no one's like coming into the house and going, "Did you hear about this thing?" I mean, I could hear it on. I could talk to someone on the phone. They'd say it, but so I'm in two minds about. I mean, I don't like spending all day long looking at the latest updates. That's a complete waste of time. But so I get magazines, show me like The Economist magazine, a little bit of like essence of what's going on. But I'm just giving, that's an example of self-deception. Or, I need to get up early, go to bed early. And then sometimes I'm working on a project and I'm like, well, you know, I just need to finish. What I'm saying here is that there's clarity that comes in certain moments, and then there's in the moment that clarity is less apparent.
Right.
And there is a different level of ideas that somehow make total sense in that moment, which tends to get the upper hand in a lot of situations because it makes sense at that time, you know. So it's like a moving clarity, like a waves, you know.
It's easy to see in other people, no? It's harder to see your own self-deception. It's easy to see in other people. There was this one time, this person was like, I could clearly see the relationship was not going anywhere. And this person was like, oh, the best thing since sliced bread, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, whatever, right? And kept excusing behavior. And at one point, the spouse just upped and left.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, the excusing behavior stopped. But I was thinking, but for so long, the self-deception happened. Like, you stayed in a relationship for so long. The deception kept happening. And you told yourself a story, right? Like, there's always a cover story. And that's what I noticed with self-deception. There is always a cover story. Why I need to do it. So if you ask, right, if you ask 100 people, are you a good person? They will say yes. Maybe they are good people. But then if you ask them, are you doing this, you know, more specific, then they'll say, no, but it's because of this and it's because of that, because there's always a cover story, right? And so even ourselves, we have to see the cover stories first. That's our entry point into self-deception. What is the cover story for this behavior? Like, right, like if I'm in a relationship and I continue to be in a toxic relationship, what's the cover story I'm telling myself? And
It could be all kinds of things, isn't it?
Absolutely. The cover story is different for different people. And also in a bad job. I could be in a bad job, right? And could be in a bad job. There's a cover story I'm telling myself. Or I might not be applying myself to apply for something really nice, right? Something really I need to get ahead in life, something I really need to do. I'm not applying myself. Why? There's a cover story. So we have to check our cover stories. You know, like you were sharing with the news, right? You have a cover story. Why you need the news?
I'm not saying it's a good
cover story, bad cover story. That's not my thing, but you have a cover story.
So there's a great book called The Power of Story, and it's literally about this topic. I remember it was very revealing reading it because he calls them faulty stories. But we have a lot, like, for example, with exercise. It doesn't matter if I don't exercise because I'm feeling all right now and everything's fine. But if the actual real story is that if I don't exercise, I'm going to get very sick, or if I'm, you know, so there's the truth about a situation, and then there's a story that is quite elaborate and has a whole range of, you know, And I suppose that's why you were saying at the beginning, the more intelligent someone is, the more complicated the story can get and the more genuine it can seem. Because like lawyers can come up with all kinds of stories to convince the jury that someone who's obviously guilty is totally innocent. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Was enough to get the jury going, didn't it? So how does from your experience someone get over these elaborate cover stories and faulty stories?
Actually, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what's the problem? Why is it that self-deception is actually a problem? Because I found out that self-deception is the root and self-sabotage is the fruit. So without self-deception, there is no self-sabotage. So there are millions of podcasts and millions of people talking about self-sabotage and self-sabotage that and self-sabotage this. But no one is going at the root of why you are self-sabotaging and how you're self-sabotaging. Because if there is no self-deception, then there is no self-sabotage.
That's a very deep point. Yeah, so how I think about it is that there is the truth about something, and ideally the truth, if it's really the truth, and not some, because we can... When I was at college many years ago, they got us to read these books that were basically postmodernist books, right? And postmodernism, essentially, and this is very complicated, right? But in essence, people previously believed there was something called objective truth, which is like actually whatever the truth is a real thing that's outside of our own perception. Postmodernism is a very kind of elaborate way of saying there's no such thing as actual truth. Everything is perception. And you can have whatever truth you want. And we live now, this is like in the 80s, this postmodernism came about. And now we live in a postmodernist society where everyone basically says, whatever I think is the truth, fine with me. And so even the idea that there is a truth out there is questioned by large numbers of people these days, right? So we have to take a position that there is something called truth. And if we align with the truth is our highest good, right? That's how I perceive it. Something that's true doesn't just mean it's true. It means it's true and it's also beneficial. And falsehood
absolutely
is harmful, right? So we reframe these words. The truth means something that is beneficial for me and others and is like our dharma, our higher states. And if we align with that, it will be of the highest good and benefit us and benefit others. That's why it's truth. Whereas falsehood is something that causes harm, even if it seems like it's a good idea, or even if it seems like it's true. So that's the foundation, that there is something that is true and good, and it will lead to benefit. And so if we understand that, then our interest is like, well, what is that truth and how can I align with it? And then it becomes worth getting rid of these faulty stories, because the faulty right. story is basically trying to justify falsehood. And the reason it's faulty is because it leads us to pain. You know, like in your example, if someone's in a toxic relationship and it's causing them pain, it's obvious to you. But they're telling themselves, oh, no, he loves me. He's the best thing ever. And everything's great. And we have such a good relationship. And then he just disappears, drains the bank account and like leaves her. And it's pretty obvious that it was a large amount of self-deception. But that's only apparent afterwards, isn't it? Not at the time.
Apparently still not apparent. But anyway.
We should bring this person on. Let's have a little chat with them on the podcast and go through it step by step. So you think your husband still loves you, is that right? Oh, he's the best thing. But it's easy. We can laugh about other people.
Yeah, but maybe it's really, I'm putting myself in it. But maybe they're what they feel they deserve, right? No one is talking about love. No one is saying, oh, I want my husband's love. I mean, like, the baseline has become so low. It's like when that is what is self-sabotage, right? Why are there so many people talking about self-sabotage? Why are there so many podcasts about it? Because you're going along and you're fine, and then suddenly you do something where you just totally sabotage. And it's a bad thing for you, right? It's clearly not a good thing for you. But if there is no self-deception, there wouldn't have been self-sabotage. There's some version of self-deception going on there, and that's why the self-sabotage is happening. But let's take, for example, the justification, right? So if I deceive myself, for example, I'm applying for a job. I need to apply for a better job, right? And then I tell myself, oh, I'm not going to enjoy it anyway, right? So you see how self-deception leads to self-sabotage? You're thinking, I'm not going to enjoy it anyway, and then you don't do it. Or, or even the expectation that the other person should honor and respect you is not there in a relationship, so you think, oh yeah, it's okay if it's all this all happening.
And it's very complicated, isn't it, all this stuff? Because the mind's infinite capacity for self-deception is so severe that it just can create any elaborate story on any level to the point that we are completely convinced about it and can't see it any other way. That's how bad it
Absolutely.
Is.
You know? It is very bad. It is very bad. And so I feel that is why you need a version of Srimat in your life. Everyone needs it. It's not a nice thing to have. And it's not about discipline. It's not about obedience. I just feel so fortunate I have Srimat in my life, right? Elevated spiritual directions in my life. Everyone needs these elevated spiritual directions in their life. So example, I'll give you an example. So let's say you take Christians, right? If they're really good, devout Christians, they have a set of rules that they live by, right? The whole church agrees on, and the people in the church agree on, these are the rules you're going to live by, right? Because otherwise, a postmodernist society, what's wrong with postmodernist society, right? There's no morality anymore, and why shouldn't we have morality? Because morality really keeps us, safe and happy. I'm not even talking about mundane morality. So let's take an example, right? I know a lot of Christians who don't believe that it's okay to cheat on your spouse, right? And they live by that. That's the church decided. They have decided that cheating on spouse is not a good idea, and they live by that. And that's a good Srimat. That's a really good Srimat to have. Because if everyone started cheating on everyone, imagine the mess life is going to be, right? So the whole society is based on a collective agreement of decency. And it can't be a postmodernist society and be happy, because that's just random and nonsense. And so I feel everyone needs a version of Srimat, right? Srimat where their decisions are not based on the dictates of their own mind. Their decisions are not based on, oh, I feel like it today, so I'm going to do it. I don't feel like it tomorrow, so I'm not going to do it. It's not based on that. It's based on an external, elevated set of factors that you make sure your mind is looking at it and not deceiving itself and telling itself random stories.
Yeah, and it's important, obviously, that set of Srimat is something that has proven to be beneficial for people, because religion, unfortunately, taken in the wrong way, because people do have this, and if they haven't questioned the value of the stuff that they're doing and it hasn't proven to work, then that's another self-deception, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So, like, we're assuming that someone has come up with a list of things to do that actually are genuinely based on truth and are really good for them. Because if they're not, because there's a lot of people who are very fanatical and devout in their thing, but what they're doing is causing terrible problems for themselves and others. But as far as they're concerned, they're in total righteousness, which is a just so. So we're assuming here that you have assessed the Shreema that you're going for, and it has a track record of leading to happiness, success, wealth, abundance, peace of mind, and well-being. Because if it doesn't, then you might want to upgrade it. You might want to figure out a higher Shreema. You know, because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If someone
I'm not saying pick a Shreema, then force yourself into it. No. Of course, we have intellect, a buddhi, and we can decide if it's good for you, not good for you. But something higher than you. Absolutely,
yeah. And so you need to know what is a standard that, first of all, works objectively for you and for other people. And then instead of saying, oh, I don't feel like it today, I'll do it tomorrow. If it's a good thing to do, it's most likely to be a good thing to do every day. And of course, like, we can't be so dogmatic about this. Like, let's say, for example, if you plan on getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, but you only went to bed at 3:30 because you were up all night, you could, but like, sometimes you need more sleep. So within all these things, there has to be some practical considerations.
Well. The question at that point is about going to bed at 3:30 is why.
Let's say you're traveling. You came back after a 20-hour plane ride travel. You could have meditation at 4 o'clock, I suppose, if you got back at 3:30.
And then go to bed. I've done that.
Yeah. You know, but it's like... these are the nuances, right? And there can be self-deception in making adjustments to everything as well, potentially. Oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. So this is very very simple thing in one hand, but also very nuanced on the other hand. So we need to have a list of things that actually work objectively and work for us and work for other people, and a way of following them in the context that we're in. Otherwise, what are we left with? We're left with coming up with all our own opinions about everything all day long, many of which could... Because if we're left to our own devices, we'll probably just eat whatever we want all the time, do whatever we want all the time. We're already seeing the consequence of that, which is rampant addiction and depression and suicide, and it's not really working out particularly well.
Yeah, that's classic self-sabotage right there. It started from thinking I can do whatever I want and it's okay to do whatever I want.
Yeah. So okay, this is a big topic.
Right. The other thing I feel we should really think about in this is, on one side is self-deception, and that on the other side is the imposter syndrome. So I'll tell you something here. So let's say I cheated on a test and got really high marks, and now I'm thinking, oh, I'm worthy of the high marks, right? Or someone wrote the test for me and I got the marks and I'm thinking I'm worthy of the marks, is one side. And the other side of that coin is I walk around thinking I'm an imposter. And I feel both are ego. One inflates and one deflates. Inflates the self and deflates the self. And so we keep swinging between inflating ourselves and deflating ourselves. That's what keeps happening. We keep swinging between these extremes. And so this is where, when you were talking about objective truth, right? So what is truth? Truth is something that is going to allow us to see ourselves the way we are as spiritual beings. This inflating and deflating is not happening. As spiritual beings, we're all pure, we're all, you know, peaceful, we are all beautiful souls. And that is who we are, right? That's the truth. And that truth is so important. Otherwise, we are constantly deflating ourselves or inflating ourselves.
Yeah, that's the ultimate truth, ultimate simple truth, isn't it? That we're not, the ego is all about additions. Like, oh, I'm so great because I've got this, you know, this random.
And the same thing, side, right? The coin is the same coin. One side of the coin is, I'm so great, I have all of this, and I'm so horrible.
I'm
so horrible is the other side of the coin, right?
Oh, God, yeah. And the more great we think we are, the more we get insulted and get very upset about it. They didn't give me enough respect. It's not fair. Oh, my God. Yeah, and then self-deception. Oh, no, I wasn't really upset. I didn't really take it. I just want to read this list here because here's a few classic self-deceptions. Rationalization. Right? Oh, it's not. Afterwards, we say, oh, well, if you were in my position, you would have done the same thing. It's totally fine, blah, 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 blah. Justification. I had no choice, you know. Projection is a classic self-deception. This is a very major one where we see everyone else having the problem that we have, but we deny it completely in ourselves. This is a major, major issue in the world. And you see this on the news. Like, it's like, these people are evil. And it's like, yeah, maybe they are, but so whenever we get really upset by something outside of ourselves, it's normally a sign that we've disowned it in ourselves. That's high level self-deception. Denial, it's not really a problem. I haven't got a problem. I'm not an addict. I do check my phone, but I'm definitely not an addict to my phone. Minimalization, it's not that bad. It's not really that bad. Everyone else does it. Spiritual bypassing, where we try and pretend that we're spiritual so it doesn't matter, but actually we're upset about it. And catastrophizing, making everything worse than it is. And this is just a, you know, preliminary list, really. I mean, this, we could have 10 pages of this stuff like this going on, the amount of issues. Another classic self-deception is called commitment and consistency. So if we say something once, we tend to want to be consistent with it, even if what we said was wrong. So if someone takes a position, they can't easily walk it back and say, I was wrong, I'm really sorry. Like, politicians very, very rarely ever apologize about a bad decision that they made. They just double down on it because they made an opinion once, and now they can't reconstruct themselves as from a different place anymore. And so we have to think, how many commitments and things have I said that I'm now still holding on to all these years later, when in fact it turns out that it was a wrong opinion? So yeah, this is a major problem. And then the worst thing, Maya, is that we can't tell it's Maya. So that's the most dark area of this, is that the real stuff, the most serious stuff, we don't even know is going on at all.
And hence even if the Shreema.
Yeah, thank God for Shreema. Otherwise, yeah, because it's because what's nice about things stream out is that you can have a list and say tick, 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 or cross, cross, cross. I mean, did it happen or not? Whereas otherwise, where are we? We're just sort of floating around in all sorts of layers and layers of madness, really, and thinking that everything's perfectly fine. Thank you very much. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Yeah, it's very, very fascinating. Very fascinating.
You know, this is why the swinging, right? Swinging between I'm so horrible to I'm so great, I'm so horrible to I'm so great. That swinging, if we are in any of those, right, this extreme or swinging between extremes, which we don't even know we are doing it, that's why self-deception is so hard. I feel that's the moment we need to really stop and think about who we are as spiritual beings, connect with a higher truth and really try to stay in that higher truth. Because otherwise this self-deception is not going anywhere. And people feel, oh, so what? No big deal, right? It is a big deal, actually. It's a big deal because you have to decide it's a big deal. You have to decide your life is worth more than whatever is going on.
Exactly. I think the fruit of sanity is deep peace and contentment, you know. The further we get out of self-deception, the more content and relaxed we feel from a spiritual place. Whereas the higher level of self-deception, the greater the level of anxiety and stress and panic. And because self-deception leads to problems which need to be managed, and then those problems lead to other problems, and it becomes a whole cascading nightmare that is very complicated to get out of. So the further we come back to the essence of just being a point of light, infinite peace, and not getting caught up in all that stuff, that's a good sign. And I think that's why people like Daddy Gulzar, who's a super powerful spiritual teacher, she was very simple in many ways, because she just went beyond. She was in the consciousness of who she is, and she had so much power. And because the mind wasn't layers of madness, you know, like a very clean, clear mind, because of the hours and hours and days and months and years of just coming back to the essence.
Yay.
What a wonder. What a wonder. So, does anyone have any self-deception? We haven't got any self-deception, not anymore.
Not me.
Not me.
Not you. Anyway, you want to pick a blessing?
Let's do 25.
Decisiveness. This is God's blessing for you. Decisiveness. You have mastered the art of viewing situations with clarity and understanding. This emotional detachment has sparked an awareness, leading you down the right path, no matter the challenges. Your stillness and composure fuel your wisdom.
That's beautiful.
Your stillness and composure fuel your wisdom.
Yay. Beautiful blessing, beautiful book. So this week, if you're interested, just have a good look at your mind. Have a list of standards, Srimat highest advice that you're following that's proven to work and is true. And see how you can align with that. Otherwise, we're just grasping at the air, falling off a cliff, really, aren't we? Otherwise, we haven't got anything to hold on to. And just
lovely to be here, Brother Michael.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just, and also the other thing I'll mention is just, as you look at the world, realize this is a postmodernist society where basically most of the general attitude towards things is that everyone can do whatever they want and there's no real truth to it a lot of the time. You don't see it, obviously, but this is kind of like a background energy. And it's just
there is always consequence, no? And the consequences are what we are seeing. Addiction, and suicide, and depression. Those are the consequences.
Yeah, suffering, pain.
You can't decide you to do whatever you want to do and get away with it. There's always consequences.
Yeah. Someone can't say, my truth is there's no such thing as gravity, so that then they just jump off the house, jump off the roof. there are certain things going on, whether we like it or not. And we're better off discovering what those things are and aligning with them, rather than pretending that there's no such thing as it. So, this is a fascinating topic. Hopefully you learned something interesting and your mind is not spinning, swimming. Shireen, thank you so much for your wonderful wisdom and blessings to everyone.